Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, it's Masters Week. Thus, we welcome renowned instructor Eddie Pels and mental guru Dr. Bob Winters. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. It is Masters Week. It's one of our favorite times of the year. It's great to spend time in Augusta National. Anytime you can, we're back now. But we saw some people, and we tried to see some people, and you know we weren't able to see everybody. But a guy that we've constantly been in touch with since the last time he was on the show recently is our guest for this segment, because he's a guy that's been working hard. He does a lot of things in the golf industry, but one of his feathers in his cap is the instruction that he provides to top players. And for this week, the main subject is Patrick Reed. I'm talking about Eddie Pels, of course. Eddie's last time we had Eddie on, he was doing some green development and different things like that. So he's got a lot of hands in a lot of different areas. But first, let's welcome EP back to the show. Eddie, thanks for making time, because I know it's been a busy, busy week for you. Congratulations on all the great things that you and Patrick have had going on for now a lot of time.
Keith, thank you very much. It's always nice to be with you and talk golf with you and share some stories with your listeners.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because it's an apple and a tree thing. Your dad loved him dearly, and it's great that you can come on the show for that. Patrick Reed is no stranger to Augusta, because he went to Augusta University, where he helped that team win the Division I Men's Golf Championship in 2010 and 2011, and then he's already has one green jacket. You know, it's hard to believe it's been 7+ years since he put that jacket on, but back in 2018, he won by one stroke over Ricky Fowler. So, what is it about Patrick that drives him? Because he's had success. I mean, he's been playing on the LIV Tour, and he's been pretty successful. Because earlier this year, he won in Dubai. He won in what we would call Qatar, but now that's Qatar. I think it's how you're saying it officially. And then he was really close in Bahrain as well. So that's a lot of international miles putting on and stuff. But the guy, there's no question. I don't think, from my standpoint, I'm going to say this, but and some people may take me a little to task about it. I think Patrick has always had a pretty phenomenal game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a grinder. You know, he falls into the grinder camp, or the grinder half of the tour, where he's done it the Hogan way, dig it out of the dirt. You know, one of the guys he stays in touch with is Josh. I'm missing his last name, but he was his college coach, and he's now he coaches a lot of players out here on tour. JJ Spawn is one of them. Who, you know, he just got his first major with JJ Spawn, but Patrick's, you know, he loves people that help his game, and you know, he stays in touch with people that have helped him for over the years. So, like, I'm working with him now, but I'm in touch with his past instructors, because you know, we're Team Reed in the bigger sense, and Patrick knows that. And you know, and he stays in touch with his past instructors even and stuff. So there's all kinds of levels to this. It's such a fun ride to be on. I mean, I was out at Augusta today, you know, and it was beautiful. The course is just, I'm in love with Augusta National Golf Course. I see Bobby Jones when I walk this course. I see his design ideas. And, you know, on this one course that we get to play every year, not we, I mean, they get to play. And we, the greater audience here, including your listeners, golf lovers, get to watch the best in the world play a tournament that I think is appropriately named, and that you have to be a master of the game to master Augusta.
I tell you, Eddie, I truly believe that if Augusta National, even though they got their purse high and competitive and stuff, I truly believe that players would play without a purse. You know, I just feel like, you know, that green jacket is priceless, and the notoriety and the fact that you are able to come back every year, that's your invitation. I mean, if you win that tournament, you're back. But and this is the mission that Patrick's on. He doesn't want to win it one time. He wants to win it multiple times. Winning twice two green jackets is totally different than one green jacket. People may not say, "Oh, it's one jacket different," but it's not. It's a totally different thing, and it puts you on a totally different stratosphere.
Yeah. And it's a magical place. Now, listen, there's people. I just read a little thing about Ernie Els has a love-hate relationship with Augusta. You know, he's had some of his biggest heartaches here, and it's actually a hard place for him to come back to because he's had some real heartbreaks here. It's a course that, you know, that can make you look dumb. And that's why, of course, all of us golfers, fans love watching the pros struggle, you know, U.S. Open style struggling. Augusta's a whole different type of, I mean, it's so precision. It's so fine line. We had a shot that almost rolled off of the front of nine. And if it had, I mean, if it had rolled another foot, it'd have been 40 yards short of the green. And instead he was on the bottom tier, putting to the middle, back of the middle tier of nine green. But, you know, I saw Batea chunk a wedge on three. So, you know, here's a great player and a great wedge player, and it's still tough because it's so precision. And it's just the challenge that is beautiful to watch. And then, of course, occasionally you get someone that makes it look easy, and it's not easy. You know, there's so many ways to make bogeys on every hole out here. It's scary. As a viewer, like really tied in on one player, it's a roller coaster ride. We had one today.
Yeah, that's not unusual. I'll say the word sexist just to throw it out there so people understand. But to me, it's like dating a beautiful woman who has very sharp nails. So
okay.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like sometimes they go into your forearm, you know, one of those deals, because it'll just step up and it'll bite you, so to speak. And that's the plan, that's the strategy. Because even watching the par three, and it was great to see Patrick and Justine and the whole family. And say, you look, and some of these guys you've known since they just joined the tour, right? And now they got like real families and real responsibilities, and the interplay is just great because you don't see these guys. You see them as professional players or professional athletes, if you will. You don't see them quite as family men or know that they have three kids when you thought they had one kid. You know, all of a sudden it's like, where did those two come from? Last time I saw them, you know.
And you know how hard kids are. You know, they, when you don't have kids, kids look easy, and when you have a kid, it becomes the hardest thing you've ever loved to do. But you know, it's the 24-hour relentless taking care of an infant that really woke me up into that world of wow, this is amazingly difficult, but so rewarding. I mean, so anyway, yeah, Augusta. I mean, it's a playground for the best golfers in the world to have every part of the game tested, and then when that happens, you know, people have bad days, people have bad weeks here, And it doesn't leave, I mean, it doesn't feel good to have a bad week in front of a big crowd, but it happens. And that's the game we play and the game we love. And hopefully you're on the, you know, you're on the positive side of some of those times too. So, but for fans, I mean, watch the short game shots around Augusta this weekend, or, you know, I know they will be. It's amazing to see that you, these people have to hit high soft shots to these greens, and you know, watch the fundamentals of what the players are doing. They're aggressive through impact. They're not, the club head's not getting ahead of their hands. They're leading through it and swiping. They're striking the match through the bunkers and blasting out. So you've got to have some aggressiveness in your short game, but we want you to do it rhythmically, short backswing, longer finish, upper and lower body synchronized together, not separated. So those are some things to just think about as our listeners enjoy the golf, or think about the golf shots they've seen as they listen to this. And, you know, we'd love to hear some of those adventures your listeners have had on the golf course. If they ever call in to your number, we could have some nice back and forth with them on amazing things that have happened on the golf course, because we're seeing it at Augusta. We'll see it at Augusta this weekend.
Yeah, we will work on that. But your dad always had like one of the most fluid type swings with a wedge. It was, you know, it wasn't surprising to me he was successful as he was. But now for Patrick, got off to a pretty strong start on Thursday. A couple of shots came back, so you know, he's a little off the leaderboard to start. But that, you know, the strong start is very important, because Thursday, if Thursday doesn't get away from you, Friday can get away from you. But if one or the other do, then you usually don't play the weekend. So it makes a big difference. And Patrick played that course a number of times when he was at Augusta University, and this is his 13th majors start, Masters start, excuse me, 13th Masters start. I mean, where does the time go?
Where does the time go? You know, Thursday's round, he started birdie eagle. So we were 3 under through two holes. And now I'm nervous watching him just to start the tournament, right? And I'm a little on edge. And I mean, that's a heck of a start. But yeah, and then he eagled 8. And so we're 5 under through 8, and then we gave a couple back, a couple tough bogeys. But we'll see where the weekend leads us, and then hopefully we'll have some great results for him. But every round's a challenge. This is like first quarter of a basketball game. You know, nobody really cares what the score is at the end of the first quarter too much. But so there's a lot of golf to be played, and it's going to be exciting.
Well, it always is, and it's interesting you say that, because that's exactly right. Every day is different, and you get out there, and when we come back from this break, as we're with Eddie Pels, yes, indeed, Patrick Reed's coach, and much more, but helping Patrick get around Augusta, which he knows so well. Well, we'll talk about the breakdown and what they've really been working on up to this point, because Patrick's got some lights out game. We'll do that with Eddie when we come back. And this is our Augusta show. This is Masters Week. It's our Masters show, and we're proud to be with you on Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
This is Dave Pels, and I think that listening to Keith Jones can take up to a dozen strokes off your game. Why don't you try it?
Thank you.
We are back with Eddie Pels, who is at Augusta and is working hard. This has been a hard week. You know, it's interesting. I saw you in Virginia last year. I'm sure I'll see you, you perhaps in Virginia this year as well, coming up in May. Working with Patrick and such, and he seems to have his head in a good place. I'm not sure. I'll defer to you on that. But his game of late is certainly seems to be in good shape. And what have you guys worked on overall? What are the hot buttons besides productivity, obviously, that Patrick wants to see?
Well, you know, I come and visit him occasionally, and we'll work on, of course, it's wedges, distance wedges, it's bunker shots, it's chipping, and it's a lot of putting. And then he's warming up. He's working. He is a working man's golfer, so he kind of treats it like a full-time job anyone would. I mean, 8 to 9 hours a day, 5 to 6 days a week. So there's a lot to do in that time when you're that focused on the game. And so he's built up a good routine of when he's on tour, what he does, when he's at home. So, it's always a little part of a game here, there. He might be between two clubs. Like when it comes to picking the set for Augusta, it could be between two clubs. Usually it's between two wedges. There's a debate going on, within Patrick's world of which wedge am I going to use? Like a two different models of a 61 degree wedge, for example, and he's testing wedges out. But also a long iron versus a hybrid or a 7 wood. Stuff like that comes in all the time, and in terms of, as a player just goes through the year, they like a new club, but they have to test it versus something and, see if it really holds up under pressure, and then it can make it into the bag potentially for Augusta. I mean, that's a pretty extreme test to make it into the bag for Augusta, but it's things like that. Trying to really kind of get the putting vision down. It's really hard to prepare for Augusta in that manner because you don't have greens with this much break and this pure of, undulation and pureness of roll like you do at Augusta. So it is hard to prepare even at Augusta because they don't, they don't have the green speeds up all the time. So you go play Augusta in advance visit and the speeds might be way slower. So it's hard to get a lot of from the putting when it's that way. You can still get the course strategy out of it, but the green speeds are a little tougher. It's a one of a kind place, and I just fall in love with it more and more each year because I see its nuances. I see how it challenges these great golfers without rough.
Yeah.
without rough, without U.S. Open rough.
Yeah.
Challenge.
Yes.
So, it's amazing, and it's brilliant, and it's, my hat's off to him for it. And, it's also a course, again, we're coming back to the same course every year, so the players know the course. And, it's not like a new thing. So it's amazing. I just think I can't rave enough about it.
Yeah, it is. It is hard to put words. There's no question. Just being on those grounds for sure. Before we get ready to close out the show with you, because he's got work to do. He's got to get back. He's got stuff to do. What's other than the obvious, the 1 degree? What's the difference between a 61 degree wedge and a 60 degree wedge?
It's basically a 60, but it's edging. We love this course. Dad invented the 60 degree. My dad invented the 60 degree wedge back in early 70s, I think, when he was working with Kite. And Kite, dad would compete against them with a 60 degree wedge and beat him And Kite just couldn't believe that this guy was beating him. And he would end up taking his 60, Kite left with his 60 degree wedge. And that happened several times. But the 61 is 60 with one more degree of loss. I mean, we try, in our schools, we show people 64 degree wedges.
Thanks so much for spending time with us, EP, because Eddie Pels is a busy man at Augusta National. Thanks for that. And we come back from the bottom of the hour break, Dr. Bob Winters.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
It is our Master Show. We are back for the second half hour of the show. And a special thanks to Eddie Pels, who on the ground all week with Patrick Reed, doing what Eddie does best. Learn from one of the best ever. And that's Dave Pels. So glad he's keeping the legacy going on. And it was great to spend time. It is an unbelievable facility. And it's a mind thing when you get there. You can't believe any of this stuff. It's like a mirage. It's like you just dreamt it or whatever. And a guy who knows all about the mental side is our mental guru, Dr. Bob Winters, who's taking time this week. We appreciate it because it is such a mental game when you're talking about the Masters. You know, it's one thing, you Doc, as a top-notch player like you were in college and such, the mentality had to be there all the time. When you get to the hallowed ground that is Augusta National, things change.
I guess that's my intro.
Hey, welcome to the show, Doc. Yeah, you need no intro. It's just like, hey, you know, are you going to introduce me? Everybody knows who Dr. Bob Winters is by this point if you listen to Teed Up with Keith Jones. Anyway, welcome to the show. My apologies for not doing a, you know, we're getting too casual. Oh, my God, see? Oh, my God, we're too casual. I wore a hoodie today, and now this is what happens. You know, I was concerned if I'd be able to wear a hoodie on Augusta National, so I didn't. Anyway.
No, you're exactly right. And I'm going to pick up, you know, right where you asked the question, is that, you know, when you are a player or even you're part of a support team of a player at Augusta and you are, you know, headed down Magnolia Lane, headed into the clubhouse, going to the Masters tournament, it hits you a little bit different going down Magnolia Lane. It hits you a little bit different knowing that you're going to a little piece of property that is so iconic, that's such a big part of the tradition and the history of golf, is that it's sort of, it's a little unnerving. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. At the same time, you place it, you know, almost on a pedestal with, you know, trying to get an invitation to heaven, because if you've earned your way into the gates at Augusta, you are really what I consider in golf heaven. And it's fantastic that every year, every spring, I mean, you know, I talk, you know, to all sports people, especially golfers. This is their favorite week of the year because they don't even really want to even play golf. They just want to go to Augusta, or they want to watch it from the comfort of their living room on their couch. And they are watching, you know, their favorite players or even players they don't know that well. And they are getting as vicariously interested and pressurized as some of the players on the TV that they're watching. So, yes, it is a mind game. It's an emotional game. And nothing really stirs the heartbeat like Augusta, and especially the greens at Augusta, and hitting good shots into the greens and seeing the ball, you know, that was 2 feet from the hole, looked like a great shot, roll away, then rolls, you know, 40 yards off the green, you know, and it's just a demanding golf course. So it is, you know, the ultimate test. You know, we always talk about the U.S. Open, but nothing really has the history and the tradition and just, you know, the glamour and just, you know, what I consider just the elegance of the Masters golf tournament.
Yeah, the whole thing is just astounding. And to be on those grounds, be fortunate enough to be there virtually every year, it's just something I sincerely don't take for granted. But obviously, you can't really put words on it from that standpoint. So if anybody get into the lottery, even if it's been 25 years for you. I talked to so many people that said they finally scored in the lottery. They got their tickets. Then a couple of them had only been doing it for about 10 years. And other people like still haven't been successful after a couple of decades. But just to, like anything else in the world or in golf, just keep going. Just keep going. And maybe you will one day get fortunate. But it was nice to watch the par 3 contest. And, you know, Patrick Reed and his family were there, Justine and Patrick's an interesting guy, as Eddie so eloquently put that way. But there's so many personalities. There's so many guys that whatever. I did want to interject this real quick because there's always stories you're looking for, and they happen around Augusta National during this time of the year. And they're very stringent. This is perhaps the greatest sporting event in general that's ever been orchestrated. It is seamless. It is timeless. It is unbelievable. But there are standards, and there are things you must follow. Don't run on the course. Don't yell out. Make sure you applaud. You know, no negativity like booing and things like that. And no cell phones. And it is amazing to me, even to this day, and it's, we don't even try. They do allow media members in the press building to have cell phones and such for work, but you can't take them on the course. Well, there's a guy that was a major tournament winner that apparently, even though he wasn't media, he had his phone and he took it out on the course and was walked off the course. So probably never to be seen again at Augusta National. Talking about Mark Calcavecchia. So Calc became a story this week, not for his golfing prowess, but because of his cell phone use.
Well, I think, you know, when they do that, they set, you know, a standard is that, and a lot of people have told me, my goodness, if they're doing that, you know, to Calcavecchia, my goodness, you know, they'll probably do that to anybody. And that's exactly really what, you know, they have. You know, the Masters, you know, they're not associated with the PGA Tour or USGA or whatever. They are their own standalone organization. And they have rules. They have regulations. And they just stand by them. I mean, this is the one place in the world that says, this is what it is, this is how you do it, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so I think that's why it is such a grand tournament, because you don't have a lot of people yelling in the middle of your backswing or yelling mashed potatoes after you hit a great shot. And I've been fortunate enough to be there with many, many players many times. And it's funny, you know, people say, why aren't you there this week, Dr. Winters? So I go, well, you know, I have had, you know, people there, you know, I've talked to people, I'm on the phone. It's not every year that we actually get there, but I have been blessed to be there, have been there many, many times. But it was funny because I love what the Masters is doing, having the Augusta National Ladies Amateur, you know, bringing in, you know, the women into, you know, the Augusta world. And, you know, I had several players playing in that, and that's a fantastic event. And it just opens up, you know, then you have, you know, the, you know, drive, chip and putt competition and that, and everything is just, you know, runs so elegantly. And then you have the par 3 contest on Wednesday, which is just a hoot. It's fantastic. Everybody gets there. And I think, you know, one of the things that Fred Ridley and, you know, the committee members and all the members at Augusta, they take real pride in the golf course and those rules and regulations, and they are gatekeepers of the game. And I think that's why every year the players love to go to the Masters, as well as the patrons, as well as, you know, the caddies and the support teams, people like myself. I will, you know, tell you this one story, Keith. I think it's a pretty neat story, and I know that we only have just a little bit of time to talk about it. But many, many years ago, and it wasn't all that long ago, it was, you know, 2007. And I just really didn't know this until the other day. And I was reading A Life Well Lived by Arnold, his autobiography. And he was talking about Augusta and about how he was being asked to be the honorary starter, you know, here for the 2007 Masters. But what, you know, I failed to realize is that before Arnold stepped up on the morning of Thursday, April the 5th, I was going to be playing with Arnold the next day on April the 6th. I didn't find out until earlier that week. My good friend Ron Jackson told me, he said, "Hey, Bob," he goes, "listen, we're going to play with Arnie on Friday." And I said, "Arnie, we're at Bay Hill?" He goes, "Yeah, we're going to play in his shootout on Friday. You're going to be on his team. And it's you, me, Dick Ferris, and Joe Patterson." And I go, "Wow." And he said, "Yeah, Arnie, he's going to actually be the honorary starter at Augusta. He's going to fly back that night, and then we're going to actually all tee it up together, you know, Friday morning." So here I was, and I've always, loved, just the beginning of Augusta, the first week, the hopefulness, the mindset, it's all optimistic, because you haven't done anything bad yet or haven't done anything really good. But everyone is hopeful on that first tee. But I was watching the TV, and I was watching, my hero, Arnold Palmer, step up there. And he asked Billy Payne, who was the committee chairman, who said, four-time, green jacket winner, Arnold Palmer, glad to have him back in the fold. Let's welcome him now on the tee, Arnold Palmer. And Arnie gets up there, and he goes, "Well, what if I hit it really good? And I just rip it down there. Can I just keep going?" And that's typical Arnie. And he steps up there, and he just rips one. I mean, he really ripped it. And so I'm sitting here thinking, here back in Orlando, I'm going, "Wow, I'm going to be in less than 20 hours. I'm going to be, teeing it up, with Arnie." And, obviously I'd seen him before, and, I knew him a little bit. But I stepped onto Bay Hill the next morning, and, I go over and say hello to him. And he looks at me, and he goes, "Are you ready to play?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, you damn well better be." He goes, "I want to win this thing." I mean, he was excited, but at the same time, it was like a command from the general. And I was like a buck private, and I'm sitting there going, "Okay." And so we teed up on the first hole, and I hit one about 265, 270, right down the middle there at the first one at Bay Hill. And Arnie looks around, he looks at the team, he goes, "Well, at least we got one player on this team that hit the ball straight," because he actually, blocked one out there just a little bit to the right. And as we got playing, I was playing really well, and I think I was one or two under going into the 11th hole. Arnie and I hit a shot pretty close to the pin on the 11th green. And so my hero, Arnold Palmer, and what most of the listeners don't know, I was attended Arnold Palmer's Stratton Mountain Golf Academy golf school when I was 17. I mean, it was the first one of its kind. We had 125 boys all over the world from 12 to 18, who were there for 3 weeks with some of the very best golf instruction. It's really my first formal golf instruction I'd ever had. And I locked my keys inside the car the first day, and I had to borrow some clubs, from some players, some counselors and staff members. And the first day on the golf course at a par three, about 215 yards, I hit a driver. And I was really little at 17, Keith. I was only like about 4'11" and 85 pounds. I could crush it probably about 210. But I caught one really good this day with this Ben Hogan driver. And it was a Titleist 3 golf ball with Yale written on the side, because Bodie Marks was the captain of the Yale golf team. And I was borrowing his clubs and his ball. So on the very first hole, we were playing in foursomes. There was a foursome on the green. They waved us on. I actually hit my driver. It goes right at the front of the green. It's an uphill par three. I couldn't see really where the ball goes in or not. But as the ball goes over the hill, it's about a pregnant pause. I see all the guys jump up and down. I had made a hole in one, first day there at the Arnold Palmer Golf Academy. And I remember Richard Lechtaler, who was the marketing director at Stratton for the Golf Academy. And they had a nice article in the New York Times and something in the Wall Street Journal that said the Arnold Palmer Golf Academy is having some great success. Even on the very first day, Bobby Winters from Galveston, Indiana, got a hole-in-one, with a driver. We're doing some great things here at the Arnold Palmer Golf Academy. So I'm there on the 11th green. I digress with the story. But Arnold looks over at me and he goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I go, "What am I doing?" He goes, "You're making some putts. What are you doing?" And I said, "Arnold, I'm doing right now what you told me when I was 17 years old. And he looked at me, he kind of put out his lower lip. He goes, well, what'd I tell you? And I said, you told me to step into every putt believing that ball was going to go in the hole. Have the best picture of that ball going in. Step in, keep your head and your body still, and hit it solid. And Arlen kind of looked at me, and he said, I told you that? I said, almost word for word. And he said, I better start doing that. I said, yeah, you better, Arnie. We've only got about six more holes to play. And God is my witness, Keith, Arnie makes like four putts at anywhere from 15 to 25 feet in the next, you know, six holes. And on the final hole, he makes a 10-footer for him to make, you know, a par. And I think he and Ron Jackson might have had a little side bet going on, or he and Dick Ferris. And he makes it, and he gives like a double pump. And he looks at me, and he just grabs me by the nape of the neck. I mean, he's a strong man still at that time. This is 2007, April 6, 2007, Good Friday, just the day after he was the first honorary starter. That was the first year he started in 2007, and I played with him the next day. And he said, Bobby, he goes, they can talk all they want about hitting those 300-yard drives. He goes, but there's nothing more satisfying than making a winning putt. And I said, that's true. But it was funny, on 17, a little side note here, I had a putt. I ended up shooting 71 for the day, but I had a putt for birdie on 17, the par three. And we played it from about 185 yards. So I ended up there about, you know, 18 feet. And I actually got over the putt, and I made the putt, Keith. And what I did is, like, AKA 1986, I put my putter, my hand up in the air, you know, kind of like Jack Nicklaus, and Dick Ferris and Arnie look at me and go, hey, we're not going to have any of that Jack Nicklaus stuff here. This is Bay Hill. So I said, I'm sorry. So I double clutched, you know, I punched my fist in the air, and I go, yeah, here we go. And Arnie looks at me and gives me a thumbs up. He goes, that's better. So that's a story that I have, you know, with the king. And that's what I think about Augusta. Every time I hear that Augusta theme, I think of Arnold. I think of him, you know, hitting that opening tee shot. But even watching it again, you know, this morning, watching Jack, you know, Gary and Tom Watson, and I realized one thing, you know, we're all getting older, and, you know, there will be a changing of the guard here one of these days soon. But I got to tell you, one of the great thrills of my life is just knowing I've been there, I'll be there again. I work with players who play in the Masters, and it is the ultimate mind game, because just like, you know, we will find out this year, you have to be on your game for every shot, because the greens are treacherous, the approach shots are treacherous, there's so many uphill, downhill lies, and it's that one shot, that's the great thing about this game, is that you have to be vigilant and mentally disciplined and emotionally composed to make every shot count. It's not that we just count all of our shots, but you have to make every shot count with full intention and full purpose. And I think that's really what separates the wannabes from the people that actually get the green jacket hoisted over their shoulders.
With Dr. Bob Winters, Bobby Winters to you now. Obviously, Arnie, one of the greatest Masters champions of all time. We'll be back to wrap up the show with the doc. We are back for our final segment of the show. I wanted to, once again, this is our Masters show, so I wanted to thank Augusta National so much for hosting us. And also a special, a nice conversation with Douglas Wheeler, who's one of the Augusta National Golf Club members, who I met a couple of years ago. And it came up to me, I was actually, one of the things I love about Augusta is they let the golf speak and they let you do certain things. There are a lot of rules, but one of the rules is that you can smoke cigars on the course. As long as you're not bothering anybody around. And, you know, so I was standing off the seventh hole on the par three, up the hill a little bit, by a couple of big pine trees. And Mr. Wheeler was walking by, and he came over and said hello, and he commended me on my cigar choice, and we chatted for a little bit, and then he went on his way wearing his fancy green jacket. So it was a nice moment in time at Augusta National. Anytime one of the members comes up to you in a positive way is always a positive thing, and just a great membership, and they're always hospitable and such, but it's nice when they actually engage in conversation. So I appreciate that. For Mr. Wheeler, and the Augusta National is unlike any other golf course on the planet, and even the par 3, how immaculate it is, and how interesting it is, and how respectful everybody is. You wish the world was like this. Is, you know, people say, how would you like the world to be? I finally came up with the answer this week by spending time on the hollow grounds that are Augusta National. And that's what I want. I want the world to be like Augusta National is during Masters Week. Respectful, fun, free, you know, just do the right things, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what's great about our game, Doc. Bobby, you know,
yeah,
It brings out those great things. But
the whole thing about the par three tournament, the whole setting, the ambiance, you know, the first timers that go to Augusta don't realize how rolling and how almost mountainous it is. I mean, it's a tough golf course to walk. You know, we talked for years about, you know, how Tiger had gone through all his injuries. Would he be able to actually navigate up and down those hills? And it was really tough for him. And it's tough, you know, for some of the older players, really. I was watching, you know, people like Vijay Singh over the years. You know, they're getting older in years, and it's tougher for them, you know, to actually walk. So there's just a lot of different things, you know, that I think, you know, that Augusta has. But you said three things there. It's a place where you want. It, to me, it is peaceful. It is happy. It's a, you know, and I am down here in Orlando, the happiest place in the world at Disney World, but it's peaceful. It's happy in a serene way. It is absolutely lush and beautiful, and people are excited to be there, and they're friendly. And the other thing is they don't have the cell phone, so people have to communicate with each other. And I think, you know, and they have to look each other in the eye. And so you're not running into anybody who's down and got their nose, you know, into their cell phone. But I will say this, is that when you talk about, you know, what are some of the, you know, key attributes for the people that win at, you know, Augusta, at the Masters, they have to be resilient. They have to have an accepting mindset. They have to have talent. There's no doubt about that. But they have to have the mental and the emotional fortitude to actually make a mistake, accept it, put it behind them, and be hungry and keep moving forward. If we can learn anything on the psychological side from the Masters, those are the key ingredients for producing champions.
No question about it. I'm glad you brought up Orlando because, you know, that's where your estate is. But, yeah, Masters Week costs less than Disney World. So just put it in perspective. And I know because I had numerous conversations. For some reason, people, you know, were talking about Disney World. I'm like, yeah, this is like kind of like an adult Disney World, you know, for us golfers. It's great and such, and it's fantastic. And as a matter of fact, I mentioned being on the seventh hole for the par three, for the most part. I mean, it was at number one. It's just down the hill a little bit from the first tee on there. But Adam Scott had come through, and he's always a fan favorite. He's playing with Gary Woodland, so Adam Scott was playing with Jose Maria and Cam Smith. Sorry, Cam from Live in Australia. So that was an interesting grouping. And then came through the group of Keegan Bradley and Gary Woodland, who won last week, which is great, and Wyndham Clark. And it was Wyndham Clark that got a hole in one, which was fantastic to see. But it's great to be there, and it's great to appreciate you coming on the show, Doc. Dr. Bobby Winters. Yeah, there he is. We're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game. Do what you need to do. Practice. Take your game to the next level and enjoy watching the Masters. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.